Thank you so much, Sharon. That song, doesn't matter as the seasons go by and the years as well, it always reaches the heart. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Before I forget, I even write down things so that I don't forget, and then I forget where I wrote it down. But we have a fellowship lunch today as our new schedule has come about. Today happens to be an all-host fellowship lunch, and so if you're looking for something to help out in as it pertains to our fellowship lunch, we could use some extra hands there today in the setting up. But also, we have some wonderful handicap parking spaces. The challenge is that we have had people parking behind them in unmarked parking. And so we encourage you to park where the old advertising slogan said, stay between the lines. The lines are our friends. And so if you don't see any lines where you parked, then that means that's not a parking spot. Because if we do park there, that could make it very challenging for people who have parked in the handicap parking spots. All right. Now that we've had a word from our sponsors. Did you know that our evangelist has arrived? If you look around, you'll see them. Oh, that's right. We're the evangelists. And we'll be having an evangelist come and do some speaking, but we are actually the evangelists, praise God. And there are some boots on the ground in many different ways to get the word out. Starting Monday, my clicker is not functioning. Let's see. Let's try that again. Having a little technical difficulties. But that's all right as that's being sorted out. Monday through Wednesday, we'll be having a mailing that goes out to all sectors of Roseburg, into Glide, into Winston, into Camas Valley, into Sutherland, into Winchester. Still not moving. Nonetheless, the mailing is going out, praise the Lord. But also, you will see an ad in the local newspaper. There we go. Oh, I think we're in the wrong presentation. It should be in his name for some reason. The presentation got switched. But also, print and digital forms of our newspaper, you will see our evangelistic meetings being promoted. But also on Facebook, for those of you who are Facebookers, you will see our ad in there. You may have also seen, if you're a Better Life Broadcasting Network viewer, you may have seen an ad there. Or maybe when you drove to church this morning, you saw this huge thing in front and behind the church property. And so, yes. We also have our health ministries that is having an event tomorrow, those tasty burgers and New Start presentations, and also the cooking class on Monday. All these boots are on the ground, and praise the Lord that they are doing those things. But what about you? I mean, could we expect all of those different facets of marketing to be the only things that God wants to use? No, God wants to use you, and he wants to use me. How? Well, since you asked, I thought I'd share. First, you can hand deliver a flyer to a friend. You have two flyers in your bulletin. And if you want some more, there's at least 10 flyers at the end of your pew. Get those. They are not decoration. But also, you can text the flyer to a friend. I have done that many times already. You can text the flyer a PDF file. You can also share the Facebook invitation with a friend. But also, you can share the Facebook video by text, email, or messenger. And last but not least, you can do something very, very dangerous. I don't know if you're up for it. You might have to brace yourself. You can bring a friend. If you are on Facebook and have seen the ad, I'd like to invite you to don't just click interested. Click going. Why? Because if we just have a whole bunch of people who normally come here, who will be going to the meetings but don't put going, well, when an outsider sees this Facebook event, they'll see and be like, oh, I guess nobody's going. They're just interested. And so please do that. Also, Wednesday evening, we have an organizational meeting. That will be for all of our team members, whether team leaders or team members, or even if you have not been asked or signed up, but you still want to help, come at 7 o'clock Wednesday evening to this place. Next Sabbath, we will be having an international food festival at 6:15. And there's some details about this. First, invite your friends to the seminar and the meal. I mean, we're going to be having food from all over the world here. And I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. Very excited. Food from Latin America. Food from maybe even Brazil. Food from the Philippines. Food from Europe. Food maybe from India. Food from Korea. So, I don't know about you, but I'm starting to get hungry. So because of that, there will not be a fellowship lunch next Sabbath. So no fellowship lunch next Sabbath because the VLC will be decorated in preparation for that. And this International Food Festival will be coordinated by the International Food Team led by Tina Holland and her team. And so with that, we are asking that you prepare your meal for if you have been asked to participate with the International Food Festival in bringing a dish, do so before Sabbath hours. We'd like to encourage Sabbath observance even in our eating and the guests that we'll be having on our premises. And it might be that you have an ability to prepare a certain dish from a different part of the world, and you have not been asked, please see Tina if that is the case. She's about to have a seat. But we still need row hosts. We still need refreshment team members, prayer ministry team members, ushers, MVPs. What's MVP? That's most valuable person in some areas. And in our church, I reckon that's all of us. Maybe we're not part of these different teams that are serving, but here's something that you and I can do. It's called the ministry of presence. People see something going on here. There's cars in the parking lot. Oh, I want to find out what's going on there. Monkey see, monkey does. And sometimes just because of inquisitiveness, people come. And so I'd like to encourage us to pray as never before. And I'd like to take it just a moment to do some praying. I'd like to invite our team members to come forward. Tina, Crystal, Sandra, other team members that escaped my Crystal. Please come forward. I'd like to have a word of prayer with you. If you are part of a team that, specifically the leadership, I'd like to Tully, you can represent your husband. This is a holy time in which we come together to move forward by faith. Sandra Cook, she might be, oh, there you are. Wonderful. Let us have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to serve you and your people. I thank you because you call us to work together for the saving of the lost. And I ask your blessing on every team leader and every team participant. I ask that we may be able to work cohesively for your glory. I know that whether we have signed up or whether we're going to be part of the ministry of presence or whether we're going to be bringing someone here to the meetings, I ask, oh God, that you will remove any roadblocks, any divisions, any distractions, because this is the time that you called us to be a beacon in this dark community. So protect your children. This will be a time like no other in which things that normally don't happen will be happening. So we just put your team leaders and participants and your church in your hands. Thank you for how you will bless now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. In his name. As we get into the Word of God, let us bow our heads. Father, we praise you for your graciousness that you still want to dwell amongst your people. You've promised us food, food that will cause us to be full and to grant us joy abundantly. I pray that we may listen to your word, that we may receive your word and be changed by your Spirit. Speak to us today, O God, and feed your children. In Jesus' name, amen. In his name. I don't bring you a full-fledged message, but something for us to chew on, especially on such a special Sabbath occasion as it is this communion service Sabbath. Could you imagine seeing the resurrected Christ? I mean, in Luke chapter 24, verse 36, we see Cleopas and another disciple. They're trying to tell the other disciples what just happened on the road to Emmaus, where this stranger shows up and he starts telling them all throughout the scriptures about the Messiah that would come and what he would do. Verse 36 says of Luke chapter 24, and as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. That stranger who was just walking with them all of a sudden shows up in that room with the rest of the disciples. They're scared, and he tells them, be not afraid, peace unto you. I'm not a ghost. Look at my hands and my feet. And as Jesus tries to remove any doubt from their minds of who he is, he then says, do you have any food? Verse 41. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And lo and behold, the Bible says that they gave our resurrected Savior broiled fish and honey. I never thought of putting those two things together, but I guess it works. Praise the Lord. Why did Jesus have broiled fish and honey? You ever thought about that? Because the last time that Jesus was with this group, in this type of close-knit setting, they had the Lord's Supper. They couldn't eat that food here. It was not on the menu for Jesus. Disciples maybe could have had it, just not him. You see, Jesus promised he wouldn't be eating this meal again until when? Until we were with him in heaven. Jesus heard broiled fish and honey. He said, I'll have some. And so here in what we just finished talking about, where the disciples were prior to the cross and now after the cross, we see a progression. We see the Lord's Supper that led to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, but also we see how the type has met its anti-type. It's met its fulfillment. But here's the thing about this supper, the Lord's Supper specifically. This supper is not complete. What is it that about this supper that it's not finished? It's not done yet. Oh, that's right. Jesus' second coming. It's Jesus' second coming that allows us to partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb. In fact, today we are invited to that same supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Why is Jesus' second coming so important? Well, because Jesus is waiting to have this meal. And my unofficial calculations tell me he's been waiting 2,000 years for this meal, at least. You thought you were waiting for something. 2,000 years waiting. Why else is Jesus' second coming so important? Because Jesus wants you and I to be there with him. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is waiting for you and I to partake of that meal. The table's set, but we have not been able to get through that door just yet. But yes, through Christ, the doors have been opened. Praise God. Verse 44, the Bible says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. That what things? All things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. All things need to be fulfilled. In other words, what I just talked about in regards to Jesus' second coming, does that have to be fulfilled? Yes, it does. Why does it have to be fulfilled? Because Jesus said it would. The rest of what Jesus had said will happen, regardless of whether or not we believe it or not. Verse 46, the Bible says, and Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. What had occurred, and what we come to celebrate this day, the Lord's Supper, is a message of hope for you and me. What kind of hope? Verse 47 tells us. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So in verse 47, repentance and forgiveness of sins was to be preached. How? The Bible says, in his name. It's interesting. We live in a time in which people talk about his name, Jesus, 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 in a very empty way, without knowing what his name is. His name is synonymous with his glory, and his glory is synonymous with his character. Jesus' name above all names, the sweetest name there ever was. But if we just think of Jesus in regards to five letters in a name and not recognize his character, then the message is empty. Verse 48 and 49, the Bible says, "And ye are what? Witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." What a promise. The Holy Spirit was to come. And until that moment, the disciples couldn't preach the gospel if there was still known sin in their lives. And the disciples, up until that moment, could not preach until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. They were able to preach this way. And I need to tell us, church family, something about where we lie in the history of our church here in Roseburg this very day. God is preparing us. For what? God is preparing us to go to war. God is preparing us as we are about to engage in spiritual warfare. For the devil's not happy about the things that are about to take place this week and next month and the years thereafter. You see, here's the truth of the matter. We can't go to war while there's still unconfessed sin. We cannot go to war while we still have yet to repent of known sin. But lastly, we can't go to war if not filled with the Holy Spirit. What we are about to do here in Roseburg with these evangelistic meetings reminds me of what we find in James chapter 5 when we think about anointing services. The Bible says, "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Avails much." So when we have anointing services, we're asking God to do his good will in the lives of the individual. And are we not praying the same thing for the people of this community? I think so. And if that's the case, the Bible says that the prayer of a righteous man avails much. And that tells me that something has to happen with the sins in my life. That's where I confess them to God. What else needs to happen in my life? I need to repent of my sins. That's a turning away from my sins. You see, we pray. What will we be praying for? For whatever we need to confess to God about. What do we pray about? We pray that God shows us our sin in its right light. Because sometimes we think some sins are cute, but they're not. Sin is still sin. We need to pray to trust in God's forgiveness and in his promises to forgive. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon us. And we need to pray that we lead others to Jesus. And you might be thinking, but Pastor, I'm not able to do that. I remember when I was a kid living under my folks' roof, and there was some dilemma, and we needed to go forward. And my parents, being the leaders of the home, they would say something like this, "En el nombre de Dios," and they moved forward. What does that mean? In the name of God, in his name. A remember telling our little boy while they were still with us, please don't do this, or please do that. And sometimes a response would be this, Daddy, but I can't. And he thought that was his justification, his way out. And then I would say, you can't, but he can. We're thinking about how God wants to use us, and the Holy Spirit has already been impressing us with that. And we might be thinking, but I can't do that. You may not, but he can. In his name. We've come here not just to partake of some bread and some juice. We've come here to confess our sins. We've come here to repent of our sins. We've come here to be filled with his Holy Spirit. And in doing so, that gives us his power to do his will. And so today, I want to give us just a few moments to turn to the person next to you and to, what's it say up there? Who prays? We sounds like a lot of people. We pray. I'd like to invite us to take just a few moments to pray for the following things on the screen. The confession of sin. You may not necessarily need to go into specifics as it's a public prayer with the person next to you. But nonetheless, that we see sin in its right light, that we trust God's forgiveness, we ask for his Spirit, and that we may lead others to Jesus. Let us take a few moments to pray with those around us in this special communion Sabbath. We thank you, Father, because you have heard our prayers. And we praise you because we know that these prayers are in agreement with your will, and therefore we expect you to answer. And in this anticipation of your power, we move forward in faith. We move forward, leaving the past in the past. We move forward trusting that you have forgiven us. We move forward doing what you would have us to do and being faithfully obedient. Thank you for your faithfulness. And may we leave this place in your power, in your righteousness, with your Spirit, ready to lead others to you. In his name, in Jesus' name, amen. As Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we practice open communion. If you are a Seventh-day Adventist Christian or not, but you believe in Christ, you confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are welcome to participate. First, we start with the service of humility, where we wash one another's feet. We have two Sab School rooms set up, one for the ladies to wash ladies' feet, another room for the gentlemen to wash each other's feet. And we have the Better Living Center set up for couples to wash each other's feet. This is designed to bring us closer to each other because we're all one family. And then we come back here to the sanctuary, and as we contemplate what Christ has done on our behalf, I'd like to encourage us that as we come in, may we have an extra spirit of reverence. As we'll get opportunity to talk with people afterwards, but maybe at this time, when we come and sit and wait for those who will be officiating to lead out, let us focus on what he desires for us. And it may be that you came here prepared for communion. It may be that you didn't. Please don't leave. Stay and seek the Lord. Spend some time in prayer. This is the Lord's house, and he wants you to be here. And so at this time, we will separate as we serve one another in the service of humility. May God bless you.